So, could be a good thing to start with.
Okay. I don't know if I understood your point there.
Ted had a bunch of, I think, two really good PRs to update the readme, and it might be a good dry run to test those out, right? Because I think they also had instructions on what to say as a host.
Okay, that's kind of, that's a little meta. Oh, we have subtitles. Let's just get that turned off. You know what? I'm gonna goof around for hopefully the last time, and then next time I will read.
Sounds good.
It'll be much, much better. So thanks everyone for joining this last trace call of 2022, which also happens to, like I said, coincide with the World Cup. So less good. We've had a productive year, and let's make this meeting count. Today is Interop Day, and before I say that, I need to say the thing. Remember to sign the contributor agreement if you are planning to make contributions. I believe everyone on the call have already done that. Do we have a volunteer to scribe at this meeting? We might. Ben has already scribed plus. Thank you, Ben. I see you already are well underway on that. Today's trace meeting, trace day. So that means we'll go through the traceability interop pull requests first. And diving right in, let's just have the link. The first one on the list is from Chris, and it's 476. Is Chris on the call? No, he's not. That might make it a little hard. Didn't I see him just a second ago?
I agree. I think he joined in drop for possibly technical reasons.
Yeah. How about we give him a second to, there you are, Chris. Can you hear us okay? We don't hear you. We are talking about interop 476, which is yours, but as long as you can't speak to it, I'm kind of thinking, let's see. They're probably all his. No, let's do Ted's. 478. And Chris, please try and see if you can make your audio work. Ted, 478, would you mind introducing that, please?
Sure, there's not a lot to say. The readme is for the two repos had gotten way out of sync and were, at least one of them was significantly inaccurate. So this was just the intelligent merge that had been talked about.
Amazing. We have three approvals on that, and a huge thank you. Any objections to merging 478?
I do hope those approvals came after reading it over, because I'm not perfect.
No one is perfect. I am merging. Thank you. The rest are from you. Your hand, Chris, are you with us now? No. You're muted, though. That might.
Or, Chris, can you write in chat? Give us a sign. Something. Anything.
Unmuting might help. I'll say that. Well, let's take a look. Chris, we're talking about back at 476. Let's see if we can comfortably go through that. This, I actually did not get to look at this. Mahmoud, you approved it. Can you introduce what it is? 476 does? No. Add test for add context entry. These are
trace vocab as an entry. So all the context tests. So because trace interop has a test in it that says, a requirement that says all credentials must use the traceability HTTP context HTTP, and I can't remember the actual string.
Right.
Then this just tests for its presence in the array.
There you go. Excellent. That's great.
Very small. Very small.
Yeah. I'm good to approve that. We have two approvals. Would anyone object to merging 476? Great, merging now. Chris, you are present again. Has this helped? Yay! Yes, we do. Amazing. Welcome.
Guys, never buy a new laptop ever.
Okay. Well, congrats anyway on your new laptop. Would you mind introducing the next one in line, which is 477?
Yes, let me bring that up. Okay, 477. So currently in the, I believe it's the VC data model, we have normative language that makes ID required in credentials and presentations. So this PR is to bring our OpenAPI spec in line with that.
Yep. And I made a comment that I felt it was a little too aggressive to, or that it's kind of going against what we're discussing on another issue. But I understand this is just to get alignment with our code and our spec, and then we can take it from there. So I approve subsequently.
It looks like we do have a conflict now, but I'm happy to resolve and merge if everyone's okay with that. I can do that offline.
Please do.
Go. Well, let's see if we can get the last one merged, which is 480 here.
So 480 is also mine, and this comes out of a discussion for making the verifications array required in the results of a certificate verification request. So this fixes two different issues. One is where an example contained a verification result title that wasn't present in spec, so I added that to the spec. That was the signature title. And the other one is to make this array actually be required in the output, regardless of whether the verification succeeded or failed.
Great. And thank you for reverting the good back to good and bad. I'm not saying I don't like your proposal better, but it would break stuff. And that's what I was reacting against. But with you, Mahmoud, on let's talk it over on an issue. Cool. We have a couple of approvals, which is enough. So any objections to merging 480? All right. Let's pull it in. And that's it for Trace Interrupt. That was quick. Let's switch over to vocab, and I'll just.
Sorry, Nis, just before we switch over, This is a bit of a meta question, but it's sort of on the trace interrupt. What do we are we looking to get out of it? And what I'm thinking is we should care less that the error messages are identical in some ways, or that the response to how we format a specific a response to this has been proved correctly. I think that should be less important. I don't think that's something it's a good idea to focus our efforts on as much as it is to focus on making sure that we're getting, for example, the right error codes, or when you issue a credential, you're getting the right credential back, or that kind of stuff. So to me, I think companies should have more leeway when it comes to defining how they want to structure their errors internally and how they want to show those to the consumers of that API. And we focus more on making sure that the error codes are correct. The actual content, if it's a case of, creating a credential. That's correct. And less on the messaging of the error. I know this isn't exactly tied to any of the PRs, but it's something that I've been noticing as a trend that we've been working towards. And I wanted to see what the general feel of the group is.
Like, we're getting carried away a bit in making everything standardized? Just that
kind of... Yeah, I think we're getting carried away by standardizing
it,
yeah.
It sounds like it's the shape of the object that we're getting carried away at. So I think the coding side, I agree with what you're saying, I think generally. I think there's scenarios where we need to make sure that if there's an error, these fields are present. We look inside of the strings inside of there. Maybe we don't care what's actually in the strings, and we're treating strings as opaque. But I think it is the shape of the error responses. That is something that we have to agree to. Like, we have to agree to where is the code, at what layer in the object hierarchy is the code, you know, what's the domain, you know, and range, you know, values for it. And then treating strings as opaque is totally fine as long as you can actually ignore the strings and still understand it, which is basically that we've implemented the codes and the shape consistently. Is that consistent with what you're saying?
Yeah, that's exactly what I was trying to say.
Okay, yeah, that's great. I totally agree with that, and I think we should not get carried away I think we should treat strings as opaque as soon as we can treat codes as being all the information that's required. And we should use codes.
Yeah, Mahmoud, are you thinking this good, bad, and...
That's what was the last trigger for me, seeing the good, bad, that. And then it also happened when I was doing some of the conformance work, because our messages were more detailed when they said, for example, X object was missing from the credential. But I was failing the conformance test because it wasn't phrased the way, in the more general way that the phrase control requires it, right? So to me, it feels like, well, my consumer for that service wants the more detailed thing, and so it's a weird, you know, I feel like it. So here's an example. If I try and issue a credential and I don't provide a credential subject, right? My response should be, sorry, you can't do that. Something's wrong, right? Or it can be, you are missing a credential object. Or it can be any number of variations that eventually give the consumer of that API the understanding that something is wrong here, you're missing a field, right? The granularity of, you know, what exactly is missing, it should be up to me as the API provider, provide to you. And that could either be done in an error code, or it could either be done in a, hey, we're just checking the status code of an HTTP request and that, you know, hey, it failed, so we know that this test is a failing case. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. What you thinking on the good, bad? That is something we do. It's basically a code. It's not an HTTP code, but it is good, bad, or past failed is a code that we're...
And that makes sense, right?
Okay. So that's not specifically what you're reacting.
Yeah, but a specific example is the one that I said with the credential subject, because right now I think the generic response if a credential issuance failed because of a missing credential subject was something generic, right? And it wasn't, hey, credential subject is missing. And so we were failing that conformance test. And that's the kind of thing where I think what the string says shouldn't matter, right? But the fact that I'm telling you no is what matters.
Yeah. Well, raise the issues.
So I'm glad to hear that everybody's basically on the same page, and I'll formulate something and I'll put it in. Thanks.
Great. So Trace Vocat pull requests, and we are here. The first one is still around from last time. That's 647.
Let's see. My suggestion on this one is that we merge this one last. I think there are some CI issues failing, and we either do a better job of communicating that, or we merge it last today, and then as we make an issue to clean up any remaining issues on main to make sure it's clean after merging.
Okay, that sounds a little scary. Do you know what the failures are?
It looks like just a few kind of simple schema failures. Like for ID, they're declaring it as a string instead of like an array of strings or something. I think there are a few simple schema errors in there, I think. Otherwise it mostly looks okay.
Okay. Well, you're a very nice guy, Ben. It's something of a responsibility you're taking there. And by the way, on a really good cause to make us friendly and inclusive. That's really cool. Let's go with your suggestion and move on now and come back to this last. So the next one would be 656 here, which is Vivian. You on the call?
Yeah, so this PR just adds a scheduled date and a scheduled volume in the delivery schedules.
No, I didn't. We have a couple of approvals. Toltec had suggestions, seems to be resolved. All right, any objections to merging 656? Okay, done. Next is 657, also yours, Vivian?
This is for, so in the transfer event, one of the use cases is transfer custody, and then we added a recept location to indicate of the recipient location.
Yep. Looks good to me. We got three approvals. Any objections to merging 657? All right. Ted, yours is up next, 658. Would you mind introducing that, Ted?
Sorry, one second. If it will load. Oh, right. The other side of the first one.
Yeah. Looks very similar. All right. Any objections to merging 658? And we'll merge. Vivian, 659.
So in this PR, I added basically two definitions, one for a single delivery statement, and the other one is an array of delivery statement with a string indicating which month that's for.
Sounds good to me. We have three approvals. So last chance to object. Merging 659. The next is 661, which is for me. And this was a mistake on a title, so it's about as small as they come. And we have one approval. Can we get another one so we can get it merged? Please. Can we get someone to Chris? That's enough. And I assume there's no objections to this. Thanks, Ben.
Yep.
Merging 661. These seem pretty reasonable. Russell, 664.
Yeah, this is just, a kind of embarrassing issue with, USDA with a PPQ 391. I had copied it from 309A and I'd left some of the term names from 309A. So this just fixes that. It's pretty straightforward.
I can definitely sympathize. We have two approvals. Any objections to merge 664? Great, merging. The next is also yours, Russell, 665.
Yeah, this creates a PPQ form for fumigation records combining with or without tarpaulin, which are very similar.
All right, we have only one approval. Can we get another one in? It looks really good to me. A kind request to approve 660. Oh, that would go. That was fast. I'm going to go ahead and merge. Let's see. We have a lot today. Russell, yours also 666.
Yeah. This is just in my notes. I had a handful of tiny little fixes that had built up. So this addresses some of them, plus one by Ted. Thank you, Ted.
Great. We have plenty of approvals. Objections to merging 666. Done. We have one left, I think. Yeah. One more for you, from you, Russell. 667.
This is a rename of organic certificate to organic certification. Mm-hmm. It was suggested in an issue a while back.
All right. We have plenty of approvals, so merging 667 as well. Okay, so let's circle back to the first one, 647.
Before we get, should we close issue 616 while we're looking at it?
Yes. What was it, 646? Russell, which one was it? No.
Which one are you referring to?
The issue you just resolved.
Oh, that's 667 is organic.
Let's see, organic certification credential.
Yeah.
I just linked it in chat. It's six issue.
Oh, you mean the issue? Sorry. Yeah. 616.
All right. Yes. Let's close that. Good call.
Yeah.
Good. So, Ben, back to 647. You're saying we should merge this. Let's put a comment on it. What exactly is it we need to do? Or what do you expect that we need to do after merging?
My suggestion, I think there are just a few minor schema changes. So my suggestion is that we merge it, and then after merging it, let's create an issue to address any CI issues that arise from that. And if it's okay, I think I can probably get to that and fix it offline out of call, if that's okay.
All right. Do we have any objections to that course of action? Okay. I'll just make a comment. Okay, there were no objections, so I'm going to go ahead and merge a non-green button here.
I like the fact that they were scared about merging a non-green button. Like, before it was the norm, and now it's... we've gotten in the practice of making sure.
No, they've always been green.
We just never checked.
We let a lot of crap slip in. That's true. But the button was green. This is different. Anyway, it's cool. And let's just celebrate that we have another contributor on the repo. That's really good. Good. That was all the pull requests, which means that we'll switch back to Trace Interop and talk about issues. We have kind of skipped them. Do we want to go through them? Is it too soon to like take a full swing? I think we basically skipped them 2 weeks ago. So why don't we give it a go today? There aren't that many. We can probably get to the end of them. Unless anyone have specific issues that we should be discussing, that would be great.
I'd like to make sure we get 4.7.2. It's super minor. I just thought it would be helpful.
We'll get to that. It's 15. Wait, let me just sort correctly here. Why don't we start with that? 4.7.2. Thanks, Chris. Oops.
This is just to enable branch protection on GitHub so that we can't merge without two approvals.
Very happy with that. Is that already implemented on Trace Vocab?
I don't know if it's in place or not, but I did check to see that it is something we could put in place, so it would prevent us from merging if we didn't have to. I know we always do it manually, but we may as well.
To be completely transparent, I enabled it on Trace Vocab, and when we run the CD or CI after merging, it's going to increment the version, and then for that to be lit, that causes an error on the CD side of things because that GitHub action can't get through the two approval thing because it's doing a commit after it. And so I fully agree with enabling branch protection, but just be aware that there could be issues on the backside of that we might have to address.
That's interesting. There's got to be a way around that. It's so common to have CI actions kick off commits. I wonder if there's we do that as well.
Yeah, it's just a matter of finding the right way to let it through the approval.
I can look into that and investigate.
All right. Would there be any reason why this is different on the two repos? You think? Do we want to treat them separately is what I'm asking, or should we just have this ticket cover both?
I think this ticket covers Trace Interop.
All right. And
if Chris finds I'm not a GitHub workflow action guy. So if Chris manages to find a fix for that, I think that would apply to Trace Vocab as well.
Okay. I will investigate and report back.
Perfect. It sounds like this. We can label this from discussion ready to PR.
Ready for PR, it's just updating the settings, and I agree with the suggestion that we should always enable branch protection.
Yep, definitely. It's true. It's not really PR, I guess. Well, I don't know. Maybe it is. Chris, do you mind if I sign you?
Not at all.
Thank you so much. Perfect. And thank you for calling that out. Any other ones that we want to make sure we get to? Trace Interop. All right. So let's go through the list in this order. So the first one is 405 from Ori. Ori dropped off the call. What's this? Ben, you had the last comment on 405 in early November. Do you remember any of this? Is there anything we can decide here?
I think this is probably because I was hosting it that day, and I think this is probably one of the times where you're hosting it and you just write whatever someone tells you to write to update the thing. Ori says we're keeping an eye on the draft as it evolves, so I don't know if SDJWP is something that's completely ready yet, so I would just say that there's no action to take on this right now.
Okay. Okay. Moving on. Switch from, so next one is 427. Switching from BitT to BitWK. We have a proposal, also November 1st, that we require did web and nothing else. How does that sound to folks?
I think potentially we might want to include did JWK, depending on the requirements around CVP.
That's true.
Because it is suggested that did JWK might be used as an offline did method for that.
I see. How do we progress with this now? Would anyone object to switching to only did web with the potential of adding JWK later?
I think I'm a little confused on exactly what context we mean this in.
We mean when we issue and present, it's based off a did web, which is what we are, I think we're doing all over Trace Interop. I don't know if there are any tests or anything where we don't do it. I guess it's just formalizing what we're doing already.
Got it.
I take this as like just for for an extreme example. Say we required did element or did ion or something like that, or some kind of blockchain method, that would mean that everyone in the core code port would be required to support that that did method as part of the profile. So I think we can safely say that did web is a requirement to implement the trace interrupt profile. Are there any other DID methods that do we find is required in order to support the functionality of the profile?
So when Ori starts with today we use did key, that seems to contradict what you just said in this, that we're using did web.
It does indeed, yeah. I think on trace vocab we use did key a lot. But I don't believe we use it at all.
Well, I think previously everyone was using did key and implementing it that way. So we can assert that everyone in the cohort is able to, has a functionality for resolving did key currently, has a functionality for resolving did web currently. Do we want to add the onus to be able to resolve an issue with did JWK?
I failed to understand your last point about JWK. Is that potentially adding later?
Yeah, it's saying, it's saying that we're making the assertion that everyone has implemented did web, everyone has implemented did key. Do we want to make the assertion that everyone should also be required to implement and understand did JWK?
How about making that dependent on how the requirements turn out from?
Yeah, I think that's really going to depend on CVP. If CVP makes it a harder requirement, it goes in the profile. If CVP says that key is good enough, then did key will probably remain in the profile. So I think it really depends on how much pressure there is and what requirements there are to implement specific methods.
I think this sort of captures what we're talking about. So basically, thumbs up on Ori's last proposal. So if you agree on this, let's give it some thumbs up and we can revisit this and formalize next time we get to it. All right, anything else to say about Force 27? Let's move on then. Next is 402. Net EPCIS Postman example. We also reviewed it on November 1st. Oh my. Oh, look at who's assigned. That sucks. Okay.
It's kind of like Star Wars. It's like, of course I know him. He's me.
I'll just make some sort of stupid self-comment here. I guess really just picking up and running it is step one. I have not done that, so let's just move on. I think the next one is 359. Is that what you guys have also?
Yes.
Conformance testing for credential status.
So that one is mine, and that is a placeholder to add the testing. I'm currently somewhat blocked by 468, in that I am unable to implement credential status in our implementation until that other one gets resolved, because it's not clear how to identify credentials for subsequent requests to the status endpoint. I have a preferred option that's in one of the options in 4.6.8, and I'll probably just run with that, but have not had a chance to do so yet because there's still a lot of discussion going on identify credentials.
I see. Okay. Let's make a note to that. Okay. And if we're lucky, we're going to get to that as well. That's a bit down. Okay, let's just move on. Unless we want to talk, like, pick out 4.6.8 now?
I'd be more than happy to talk about 4.6.8 right now.
I'd be down with that as well.
Okay, let's do it. So, this is about, you know, just very high level intro. How do you identify credentials? and who should identify it? Is it client or server? Is it a reference or an identifier? Is it a resource or an RDF ID? And all that good stuff. I've not personally followed along at the bottom of this. So if anyone feels comfortable talking to the bottom part of where this is right now, I'd be very happy to hear that.
Yeah, I can speak to this one. So just as background, there are a couple of variables in play here regarding creating credentials and then subsequently performing actions like updating the status that make this a bit of a combinatorial mess. The first is who's responsible for identifying a credential. The next is how is that identification to be provided to the person who is asking for that credential to be issued so that they can later make the call. And then depending on the answers to those questions, there are some other things. And just to cut to the chase, there are a number of proposals in a rather large comment that I put in there on the 14 days ago. It has proposal 1 through 6, I think, highlighted in bold, so it's pretty easy to find it. But I'm currently leaning towards some comments that David Longley has made regarding who should identify a credential, and his position is that the client, for the purpose of this conversation, the client is the one posting to credentials issue. Mm-hmm. The client should always provide the credential ID. And it is up to the client to provide a unique credential ID each time, and the issuer will respond with some sort of error, perhaps a 409 conflict, if that ID has already been used. And his reasoning is that in order for us to cover the use case where someone wants a client requests a credential and there's some sort of network failure or other software problem, and the client doesn't receive the response, or something happens and they don't know if the credential is issued, they can simply rerun the request and they'll get the conflict and they'll know that the credential was in fact issued. If the server is the one issuing the identifiers and returning those in the response, then there's no way to know if the credential has already been issued. So that was one, being able to tell whether or not the credential is actually issued in the face of some sort of network error. The other was that it doesn't make sense for both the issuer and the client to track credential IDs for two different purposes. The client would need to track it for the reasons that it wanted to later go and, you know, perform a status update, and the issuer would need to track it to know whether or not it had seen this ID before. If you remove the issuer from the equation there, that reduces complexity because only one person has to keep track of the IDs, and that is the client, because they're creating them and they're storing them for later use. I guess that does break down a little because the issuer needs to know whether or not it's a duplicate, but that's just a simple lookup. I'm in favor of that because it's super simple. It's kind of in line with what Ori had suggested in the beginning when we first started talking about this. And I'm interested in hearing other thoughts.
Matt, so thank you for the summary. It's awesome. I guess I'm just looking for what are the trade-offs here. The one I can think of is it makes it harder to be a client. And can we expect, I don't mean this how it comes out, but we have to assume that our clients are really stupid and don't know what they're doing. And we're asking a lot here. That's, I guess, a concern. And I'm really just looking for the flaws here, but is that an affair drawback to call out?
Well, I suppose that it makes it harder to be a client. It's relative, right? It's not necessarily harder in the face of all these other proposals. They may be more difficult, but it is harder than doing nothing at all. And I don't think doing nothing at all is an option here. But the client is going to have to keep track of these IDs anyway. Otherwise they'll never be able to do status updates, et cetera. Mm. If they don't care about these IDs and they never plan on doing status updates, all they have to generate is, a URN, UUID, and just dump a UUID in there. It's super easy. And they can be done with it. So I don't know that I necessarily, I don't know, I buy that 100%.
Like, okay. No, that's
a system. You should be able to do that.
What happened to the reference idea, that you can provide a reference? And if you don't, and we could basically do everything. And I'm sorry if I'm just asking what's already
please. Yep.
But we could do all this checking. Everything you just said, we could do on a reference, but also issue a credential ID on the server side.
So that's certainly possible, but it increases the complexity a lot because then you're in a situation where sometimes the client generates the ID and sometimes the server generates the ID based on various conditions. Yes. It's certainly doable, but you lose the ability to check for whether or not the credential has been issued in case of network errors, which I do believe is important.
Is that, okay. Is that the trade-off that we are going for? Yeah, okay. It does sound simple. You're right about that. And in this case, it's the credential ID, and that's all we would need.
Yeah, to quickly jump, my main preference is just that there's one ID. Whether it's the client that it creates it or the server that creates it, it really just seems redundant and hard to track if we do the proposals that have two IDs. So I'd be okay with one or the other.
I agree with that 100%. So I think the proposal where the client is always responsible is number 6, and the proposal where I believe where the server is always responsible is perhaps number 1. I'm in favor of number 6.
Which is the client responsible?
Yes.
just making some comments here. All right. Any objections to making the statement that we are generally agreeing on option six? Make that comment here. That's positive. And would anyone like, Chris, again, you've been involved in this and seem to have read the latest input. Oh, Ted, you're also involved on the latest ones. Is this a heated debate where we expect others to kind of be in wild disagreement with that statement we just made, or is this kind of the trend also on the...
I believe the only person who has voiced opposition to this is David Chadwick, and he suggested that during the JFF Plugfest, they had a use case where a university wanted to reissue VCs using the same ID over time, and... that's the only counter use case we came up with, and David Longley had some lengthy comments on it in another thread that I linked to under Proposal 6, suggesting that that was perhaps a bug and seemed like incorrect behavior. But otherwise, folks had other options, but nobody that I can recall had any objections to any specific one of these, really.
All right. Well, that's positive.
And if we want to make this ready for PR, I'm happy to work on it. This unblocks a lot of things for me.
It really would be nice to close it out. I think we would do ourselves a huge favor to do that. I feel personally I would be, it's a little unfair because I haven't read the whole thing, but, look, we're on the call. We can make these decisions. Let's mark it ready for PR. And that means, removing discussion as well. And what tangible actions do we want to take, Chris?
This, I believe, the other ticket that we merged or that I'm still pending merge based on conflict resolution, takes care of part of this, making that ID required. I think I'll have to look into what the rest of the changes entail, but it may simply be that this paves the way for creating some conformance testing around this functionality.
Right.
The rest of it may already actually be in place.
Where the client pros generates a URL or something.
Yeah.
Mm. All All right.
Okay, and we're
right. Good. Yeah, we're at time. That was a nice way to end the year. Let's wrap this up. Do we have volunteers to do the note minute thingy?
I'm happy to do the minutes. I never did get an audio from last week, so I was unable to do those.
I know that I kicked everyone and I did the thing. That's weird.
Yeah, there's no indication of what specifically went wrong. It just gives me a 404 when I try to get the audio.
I distinctly remember, Ben, you and I were the last ones in the call and you kicked yourself and yeah, all that. That's strange. Well, let's try it again. Thank you, Chris, for volunteering. So what I'll do is once you're all out, I only need to make sure everyone is out of the meeting and then end the meeting, right? That's
you need to stop recording.
That's probably why. My bad. I will do that today. Kick you all, stop the recording, then end the meeting. I apologize. Excellent. I'm not good at this. I'll learn. Next year.
Right.
All right. Happy holidays, and I'll see you in the new year. And this has been such a pleasure. Thanks, everyone.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.